Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist, and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. I have an amazing show today, and which I'm most excited about. I am featuring YouTube star of the channel, cleaning tutorial channel, Clean My Space, Melissa Maker. Melissa is an entrepreneur, a cleaning expert, and a wife. And if you've ever wondered if there was a YouTube channel for pretty much everything, I am pleased to introduce you today to Melissa. Melissa has been likened to Mary Poppins, enabling us to do the cleaning ourselves. And she's here today to share tips and tools, not just for cleaning, but succeeding as an entrepreneur in business, which she has done very well. Melissa, thank you so much for being here. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me, and what a lovely intro. I almost want to cry.
Well, lovely. I think it's most fitting. I think it really is. And because, you know, Melissa, many of us struggle with cleaning. And like so many tasks in life, that struggle does not so much exist in the task itself, but in our mindsets. And I know all of us can relate to that. You know, if we feel it's going to be hard to do a certain task and it'll take forever, it's going to feel painful. And so, Melissa, you know, how do we learn to do an otherwise unexciting task faster, better, and properly, and even enjoy it along the way? In other words, how do we get empowered to get into the right mindset to get moving and know exactly what to do so it's easier, it's palatable, and the time spent is, you know, it's more productive and we don't feel so bogged down?
You've hit on two really good things. First, a really great question, but second, and the thing I'll cover first, the majority of people don't like cleaning, and I definitely fall into that majority. I've never found it to be easy. I didn't come out of the womb with a, you know, dustbuster. Like, cleaning does not come naturally to me. And I guess I can tell you more about how I got into it later. But, you know, it's something that has been, and even to this day, is still something that I find, you know, a challenge. And I certainly have developed my own kind of unique ways of getting into the right headspace, because you really hit the nail on the head with that one. If you're not into it mentally, you're certainly not going to be into it physically. And I'll kind of give you some pointers on what I've found works and certainly things that I've shared with my audience over the years. And the first thing is indeed, the first thing is indeed to get into the right headspace. I know if I'm, some people I've talked to, they'll say, oh, when I'm angry, I like to clean, or, you know, oh, when I'm angry, I like to exercise. Are you kidding? If I'm angry and I clean, I just get angrier. So it's not a good thing for me. Some people would find it therapeutic. But to me, the right headspace really means understanding why I'm doing it. And I've also found it really important to cultivate an appreciation, A, for the service that I'm doing for myself and my husband in our home, and B, just what it means result-wise for myself. So looking to the future and saying, if I do cleaning task X, I will feel great afterwards because, you know, I'll get to walk into my kitchen and feel invigorated or excited to cook or, you know, relax. So I think the headspace thing has a lot to do with the way that we frame it in our minds. Like, if we see cleaning as dreadful and this terrible task that we don't want to do and we're the only one doing it and no one's helping, like, it's really hard to get in the mood. But if we can start to find sort of the positive aspects of cleaning, so what the great results will be, how it will bring the family together, how it will help instill a sense of pride in my space, and how it will help me feel a sense of accomplishment. Those are all ways that I can kind of get myself in the mood. And then I think a lot of it has to do with listening to good music or an engaging podcast. And I mean, you have a great show. You know, I'm always listening to podcasts when I'm cooking and cleaning. I just need things to keep my mind inspired and motivated. So So I find that's really helpful. And the other thing that's really important, and this was a big one for me, is that if I don't know how to clean, if I don't have a method, I'm going to spend more time, more efforts, more energy, and I'm going to get a poor result. Whereas if I can spend a few minutes sort of educating myself on the proper products, tools, and techniques, I can then just go execute the task and get it done as quickly and efficiently as possible. And then, as I like to say, I can just move on with my life. I can do the better stuff.
I find that final point really interesting because until once I was watching your shows and reading up about you and seeing that point, I never thought about that part, and it really illuminated me personally. I mean, I think we all can get, like, the mindset, even though we might not think about that, and that switching it to the reward could shift us out of the negative tapes that are going on, like, this is the reward, this is the benefit, and when we switch our mind, we can see that. That how-to piece, I find, most of us, I mean, I never thought about that. How to clean, I mean, isn't that just like, you know, kindergarten primer? Like, why do we need to learn how? And that piece of the equation, I'd love you to illuminate, because I think that is just, I think that's one, what makes you so very appealing and enticing, because you provide us with all of these, like, this is how, this is how. Mm-hmm. Why is that so important and really creates that shift to us being able to get our clean on?
To get our clean on, I like that. Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, I have the fortune of being able to communicate with my Clean My Space community, all of our fans. You know, we just hit 280,000 YouTube subscribers yesterday. So thank you. And I mean, we have, our audience is literally global. And I have to tell you that I get emails, I get Facebook messages, tweets, Instagram posts, and YouTube comments about, you know, I guess I'm, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens a day. And people just say, you've changed my life. And, you know, cleaning is not profound, right? This is not profound information. But the idea is that nobody took the time to teach people how to clean properly. And also, going back to my earlier point, how to frame it in a positive, enjoying way, and you know, enjoyable way. So, for example, when I was growing up, cleaning was often like, just get it done. I don't care how you do it. I just want this thing done. And it wasn't like, yay, let's celebrate the great job that you did after you finished cleaning. It was like, okay, thanks. Now let's do something else. So I think a lot of people, you know, they really struggle with the how-to, and no one took the time to teach them how to do it. So they just find it to be a really frustrating and not a very rewarding process. And frankly, when I, you know, I haven't done any actual studies on this, but I can just tell you, you know, in my experiences and communication with various people, the people whose parents took the time to teach them how to clean, teach them how to organize, teach them how to fold clothing, teach them how to do laundry, and show them how they could enjoy it, I'm telling you, the people who love cleaning are the people who were taught how to do it when they were young. So because people weren't taught how to do it, it's incumbent upon me to sort of be that person to teach people how to do it in this crazy digital age that we live in. And it's pretty cool because when I say to you, you know, people will message me and say I've changed their lives, I get people from all walks of life who've said to me, you know, Melissa, you've really impacted my life. And I get it, because cleaning did not come easy for me either. It was really challenging. Like I said earlier, there were a lot of negative associations with it. It didn't have any positive rewards attached to it. So there was really no reason for me to like it. And, you know, I have kids saying, I get more allowance now because I'm cleaning my room. Or I have, you know, new wives say, thank you so much for helping. You know, no one ever taught me how to do laundry, and I'm a new wife, and this is so helpful. Or I have bachelors who will say, you know, I'm on my own. You know, I'm recently divorced or a widow or whatever, and I did not know how to do any of this, and thank you so much. So I think when people actually learn the right tools, techniques, and products, it gives them this sense of empowerment. They feel that they can go out, they can do this job, they can achieve something, no matter how small. It's so important to come home to a space that feels good, and a lot of that has to do with it being a clean, serene space, and that's what I'm giving people the tools and the abilities to go and provide for themselves.
This is so illuminating. It really is. Because PD is something that we do every day. So that's why I can see it. And as you said, I can see it changing a life. It's absolutely, because it's your you live in the environment every day, so it's what you're coming home to. So it's your constant space. It is a daily task. And if we see the daily task with the requirements of life as a chore and drudgery, it just adds to the stress, adds to the pressure, adds to the responsibilities. Shifting that liberates us from a huge part of aspect of life that we have to attend to in order to be not living chaos and filth and mess. And so I completely understand how empowering that is. And again, many blessings to you for providing that and it really illuminating the mind in all these aspects. So thank you. It's amazing. And it's so much part of our well-being. That's why I thought great to have Melissa on, because this is so important. And
thank you.
And we don't talk about this. We just talk about it. Oh, I have to clean up, big chore. Like,
that's
how
right.
We talk about it.
And
you
see,
don't talk about
framed.
It like that.
That's right. It's always framed negatively. Like, it's a dreadful thing, you know? And I think what I want to do is just help people realize, like, all right, it doesn't have to be that dreadful. We're going to get through this together. We're going to do it as quickly as we can. We're going to move on and do the cooler things in life. But at least if you have to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it just dawned to me, too, that like when people are like, if people are like super clean, for instance, it's always, even that is framed in negative. Clean, freak, controlling.
That's right.
Like, there's a lot of negative, even for the good parts.
That's
so,
right.
So, well, I mean, you're so much more than cleaning, Melissa. I mean, that's what's, there's so many lovely aspects. I mean, you have two YouTube channels. I saw your Melissa Maker one as well, and I enjoyed your entrepreneurial story. And so, in as much as I'm in really illuminated and enjoying all our talk about cleaning, and I think the listeners be like, everybody's going a little ping, 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 and they're going, I got to check out, clean my space, and absolutely go there. Outside of that, you are an amazing entrepreneur with a fascinating story and incredible tips. And I don't want anyone to miss that. And I'd love to hear more about that because, like you said, you didn't even like cleaning. And now this is your business. And now you have 280,000 people subscribing to listen to you talk about it. So you're an inspiration on that level and the success that you've derived from this. So there's so much more to you, and I'd love that. Yeah. Tell us more about that entrepreneurial journey.
Sure. So, and thanks for pointing that out because, you know, I do have a second channel and I'm not all about cleaning. And, you know, people oftentimes will have this misconception of me like, oh, she just, like the words you said before, a neat freak or a clean. That's not me at all, actually. And it's really ironic how I got into my business. And my second channel does give me sort of the outlet to just talk about things that I want to talk about, and you know, we're working on creating more content for that channel as well, the Melissa Maker channel on YouTube. And I get to express a lot of myself on Instagram as well, which I found to be a really fun sort of social media tool. But basically, the way that this all went down is, you know, I was one of those kids that from a very young age, like it was just running through my blood and it was in my bones. I was going to be an entrepreneur. So I really believe that I was just born this way. You know, I used to set up like stuffed animals and I used to play store with them. Like what kid does that? You know, that was me. So I just knew that was going to be my deal. I was going to be an entrepreneur. So I graduated from business school in 2005. I cannot believe I graduated 10 years ago, but anyway. I took a job working as a commercial banker, and I did that for a year. And during that time, first of all, I realized that really banking was not for me, but I'm certainly grateful for that experience because it really, you know, had it been mediocre or good, I might not have done this. So I'm actually pretty grateful that it was a pretty unenjoyable thing. And I also started dating my now husband back then, just random guy I met on the internet on a dating website, but my husband Chad is, but was at the time an entrepreneur as well. And, you know, I had sort of shared my thoughts and dreams. And, you know, he said to me, listen, you're young, you got to do it now. And it really resonated with me because I thought, you know, I'm pretty low on the commitment scale. Like, you know, I don't really have too many commitments going on. And I'm young, and if anything happens, I can easily recover. And, you know, to this day, I think my timing was great, but I also think that if anybody's feeling the urge to do it, there's always a way. Like, when there's a will, there's a way. You can figure something out. So I just wanted to put that out there because I know some people sometimes struggle with that. But anyway, back to the story. I left the bank a year to the day I started working there, bid farewell to a paycheck and benefits and pension and all that stuff. And I went back to the restaurant world, and I took a job waiting tables, which is what I did, you know, to pay my way through school. And I just kept my ears open, and, you know, I just listened and looked around for opportunities. And I wanted to get into something, like, fun and sexy, like jewelry or, you know, swimwear or something fun, and, you know, because I really like fashion and design. But there were many reasons why that was difficult, you know, high barriers to entry, a lot of costs, a lot of competitors. But I kept hearing about my friends who had recently moved out, you know, because we had just graduated. They were all getting their own apartments in the city. And everybody kept lamenting about how difficult it was, A, to find a good cleaner, and B, how much they hated cleaning. They had so many other things to do. They had all this newfound money, and they wanted to go out and have nice dinners at restaurants and join gyms and do all the things that young adults do. And cleaning was just not on the agenda. So that's when it started to click for me, and I thought, you know, maybe I don't like cleaning either. I know what a pain it is. Maybe I'll start a cleaning company, and, you know, I have this business training. I've had a lot of experience in customer service and sort of professional, I guess, you know, just an education in, like, how to be professional and how to be courteous. Like, I knew a lot about that, and I thought maybe I'll take all of that and culminate that into a business. So I researched and I did a bunch of work and started sort of learning about cleaning, and then I spoke to my mentor, who is my uncle, and he said to me, great business plan, Melissa. Who's going to do the cleaning for you? And I said, you know, I'll hire people. And he looked at me, kind of raised an eyebrow, and he said, let me tell you something. If you're going to have a successful business, you need to know your business from the ground up. So he said, if you're going to have a cleaning company, you better get out there and learn how to clean, and you better do the cleaning yourself, and then you can start hiring people. Or you can get your resume ready and you can find a job. So that was really the turning point. And I rolled up my sleeves. I learned everything I could. YouTube wasn't really around in 2006, so there weren't any videos on the topic. Just a lot of reading and practicing, a lot of frustration, a lot of learning. But then, you know, I started to kind of ace it. Like, I just started to learn what I needed to learn and figure out efficiencies and sort of apply those skills in life to cleaning. And, you know, I researched products and recipes and all that kind of stuff. So while I was building my business, I was also learning a lot about cleaning and sort of gaining expertise in the area. And then eventually, you know, a couple years in, I was able to stop cleaning altogether. I had enough staff under my belt, and I could just focus on sort of building and growing the business. So that's kind of how I got into that. And then the digital side of things really picked up because in 2011, my husband, we had just gotten married at that point. And he said, you know, let's see what we can do on YouTube to try and get some more clients. And our business was doing really well, but we just thought, we're young, we're smart, we get this internet thing. We'll try to, you know, figure out YouTube. And I sat up, I sat in my office exactly where I'm sitting right now. I put a camera up there and, you know, lighting was terrible, audio was terrible, everything was just working against me. And I just recorded a video about a little cleaning tip, and we put it up on YouTube. And slowly but surely, we just started to get feedback, and we started to get subscribers, and we started to get comments. And we realized that YouTube is global, not Toronto-based, which is where we are. And, you know, we started to develop this global audience. So we kind of had this unintended sort of business develop out of that. So now we have two businesses, Nicola. We have our cleaning service in Toronto, Clean My Space Services, and then we have our digital business where we run our YouTube channel and our blog, cleanmyspace.com. And, yeah, I mean, we have all kinds of fun. a really interesting life that we've sort of created together, my husband and I.
Well, I mean, there's so much juiciness out of that story. And I mean, first, your intrinsic desire and passion for entrepreneurship and that drive for that. And the fact that you would go into an area where you weren't even particularly gifted or impassioned about and go through the grind of learning and developing an interest and becoming skilled and passionate and then passing it on. I mean, I really think it, and that's what I love about it, because we're typically taught, to be successful, you have to really be passionate, you have to be really in tune with what you want to do. And it's true, and you knew that entrepreneurship was what you wanted to do. That was where your passion was. But
that's exactly right.
You discovered something that you could put your different talents to. And so it really breaks open that stereotype and that box. And I think opens up the mind to like, hey, there's so many ways I can be. And I love that. I mean, I relate to many things that I said, I'll never do that. I'm not interested in that. Next thing I'm doing them. So I get that when you're – and I want to – in listening to your videos, I took a few notes. Couple things that I wanted to, of your life philosophy, couple things. One, you say, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Oh, my gosh. I love that because here's the thing. You know, entrepreneurship is all about advocating for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tenacity that's involved, and there's so many other things, and, you know, trial and error and everything like that. But I found that, you know, over the years, and I want to be clear, I started my business when I was 24 years old. So I was a baby. Like, I had, you know, a little bit of work experience and a little bit of life experience, but not much. So I grew up in this business. I really learned a lot and developed as a person in this business. It taught me so much about life. And, you know, one thing that I had a lot of difficulty doing growing up was just being a good advocate for myself and you know, filling out what I needed and then asking for it. And oftentimes I found myself behind the eight ball and I would see other people just advocating for themselves, getting what they needed because they had the ability to ask for it. So I think there are sort of two parts to it. The first part is, you know, getting up the guts to do it because that's obviously the hard part. And mm-hmm. and the second part is sort of just realizing that no one's going to do this for you except for you. So if you want to create good things in your life, great things in your life, understand, have a vision of what it is that you want, and then ask for it. So if it means asking for training at work, if it means asking for a night out with your spouse, if it means, you know, if you're at a store and you're not happy with the way that something's gone down, ask to speak to a manager and just let them know what it is that you need in that moment. People are very willing to meet you. They're very willing to make you happy. You just have to let them know. And the other thing about that, too, is, you know, it's not about being a jerk. Like, you have to be classy about it. And you have to know the place. Yeah, you have to know the place where you're coming from. You have to come from a kind place. And a place where you're just advocating for your own needs and you sort of let go of the outcome, but you ask for it and you kind of see what happens. But I found that when I've asked for things, difficult things, scary things, big things, it tends to work out. So I've become better at it over the years, but that was a really important lesson for me.
I think it's really important. Most people are afraid to ask because they get afraid of rejection, afraid of failure, afraid of a negative response. And even if that's there, you can still learn something positive, and it doesn't mean you give up. And that, so I think that's so crucial for people to understand. You have to take the risk and put yourself out there, not just in your business, but just in your life. And that takes me to the next point with you. When you talk about, and I think this is so beautiful, when you talk about taking that risk and going to entrepreneurship, you and I'm paraphrasing what you said. You said there are good times, there are terrible times.
Yeah.
And you have to have good support from yourself and stick through it. And you have to wake up and keep going. And every time you face a challenge, you go through it. And the biggest thing, you had support from people around you, but mostly you had to support yourself.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. I think that's huge.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's in business, this can be a very lonely road. I'm quite fortunate because my husband is my business partner. You know, there are a lot of times where I have to be, for lack of a better word, I have to be my own best friend in this, you know, in this life, in this situation, because, you know, my nearest and dearest, very best friends are not entrepreneurs. They don't get this. And, you know, it's something where I've had to sit back. I've had to say to myself, when things aren't going the way I want them to, or if I'm facing challenges, and, you know, in about 2010, we had a really bad situation going on at work. And it was just heartbreaking. It was really difficult. And that was such a challenging time. And not only, you know, I said earlier, it requires tenacity. It really does. It requires trust that everything is going to work out, as hard as it is to say that. Things always work out. If you make one mistake or there's one bad decision, you always get a chance for something else, and it can work out. Like, you're never so deep that you can't recover. And it also just comes down to, you know, sometimes what I do if I'm really having a tough time is I just go to the mirror and I look in the mirror and I start complimenting myself, or, you know, saying things that I think will be helpful. I've also, you know, done meditation, and I'm, you know, I think that's really helpful too, because just taking that break and being there to support yourself during these times, which can be challenging and difficult, it's so important, because you want to get through those times so that you can enjoy the good times and you can celebrate those. And not all things are bad. There are a lot of great things, but part of the deal is that you're going to have tough stuff come up. That's just part of the deal.
Well, I mean, one that stood out for me, be your very own best friend. I use that phrase all the time on this show. I use that phrase all the time to people in my work. Be your own best friend, and you had incredible instincts to go appreciate yourself, support yourself, and because it's setting out in any entrepreneurial journey, and in fact, on anything in life, because we're going to experience lots of challenges. We will face many self-doubts, many challenges, and this is a life skill and a life understanding that that can serve everyone in any area of your life. So thank you for these incredibly empowering messages, for being here with us on the show, to your insights, your success, and all the amazing things that you're doing. And to the listeners out there, absolutely, Melissa has amazing work. Check out her YouTube, Clean My Space. Also, there's also Melissa Maker. She's on Facebook. She's on Twitter. She's on Instagram. She has this whole Clean My Space community and all of her incredible life wisdom and insights and inspiration for us all. And, of course, her website, cleanmyspace.com, with her blog. Melissa, you've been such a pleasure to have on this show. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and your amazing work with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast.
It's been a pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
Take care.
Bye, hon. Wow, loved all of that. So much there for us. Biggest message? Be your own best friend. So let's take that forward with us into today, into the week. Remember that, and how empowering it is, and how it allows us to create the amazing life that we deserve. This is Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights into how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, www.thewellness-network.com. And keep in mind that sometimes you do need to go out on the limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life that you deserve. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful, entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.